Hey guys, welcome to the channel. I'm so glad that you're here. You know, our mission at Faith is to lead people to Jesus and elevate their faith. I trust that today's sermon would strengthen your faith in God and elevate your confidence for the impossible. God bless you. Let's get into it.
Acts 32, 36 says, therefore let how many? Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus whom you crucified both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were what? Cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said to them, repent and every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of who? The Holy Spirit. I want you to say, Holy Spirit, fill my life. I love you, Holy Spirit. I want more of you. I am your temple. Fill me. Fill me. Empower me. Liberate me. Fill me with joy. Fill me with peace. Fill me with love. Bring rest to my soul. Let your fire burn within me. I yield myself to you, body, soul, and spirit, in Jesus' name. Amen. You shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord will call. Verse 40 says, and with many words, many other words, he testified and exhorted them, be saved from this perverse what? Listen, we need to step out of this in this generation. We need to step out of what is happening in the world. We need to step out. Tell somebody, step out. Tell them it's time to step out. It is time to step out of this generation, mighty God, and step into the promise of God. Amen. Then those who what? Gladly. They what? They what? How must you receive Jesus? Gladly. Receive him gladly. And every spirit that wants to bring depression and oppression, tell it gotta go because Jesus is here. Tell him Jesus is here. The Holy Ghost is here. Glory. Listen, you gotta get bold, man. You got to get bold. One lady said, enough is enough. Get out. And what? The demons left her. Sometimes we sit around with demons and sit around with oppression. Sit around with all kinds of stuff. Demons sleeping with you, misusing, abusing you. And you just sit down. It's time to open your mouth and say something. And give the devil notice. Give him direction. Say, devil, out. Time to get bold. Time to get strong. Mighty God. Hallelujah. And what happened? Those who gladly received his word were baptized. And that day, 3,000 souls were added to them. One day, that will be our portion in Jesus' name. Number verse 42. This is the verse we're looking for. And they how? They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and what? Fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Then fear came upon every soul and many what? Many what? Many what? Many wonders and signs. Did we have some wonders and signs in this house this morning? Yes. Wonders and signs were done through the apostles. Now all who believed were what? Let's do it again. All who believed were what? All right, listen to me. Easy lesson. If you don't have a Bible, purchase a Bible. So when we're reading the word, you can follow along. Because sometimes to lift your head to the screen is kind of weird. But get yourself a Bible. On your way out, see the folks at the back. They have Bibles for sale. Cheap Bibles, $30. Pick up a Bible. Invest in something that will give life to you. Amen? Good. I know you're going to buy a new dress this week. Skip the dress. Skip the sneaker. And buy yourself a what? A Bible. Why are some of us standing and some of us, guys, we got to get together. There is key. There is something that's happening and you got to get in. Get the children up. Let them stand up. Teach them the ethics of the church. When it's scripture time, you stand up. Amen? They were what? Together. And what happened? And had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as one had need. So continuing daily with how many accord? One accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house. They ate their food with gladness, simplicity of heart, praising God, and having what? Having what? Favor with how many? All people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. Lift your hands. Father, we thank you for this word. Holy Spirit, add your touch. I pray the power and the anointing of God will flow through this word and change lives. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You may be seated. Tell somebody, adjust your association. Tell them, it's time to adjust your association. Some of us have great associations with social media. And when we go on social media, we hear all kinds of doctrines, all kinds of things. And instead of you growing in God, you're there taking in all types of content. And you don't know which content is of God and which content is of the devil. Because sometimes it is so close. It's a lot of lies mixed with a little truth. And the little truth holds you there and you take in a lot of lies. And you end up taking in spirits and opening doors to things that are of the world. And taking in spirits that the enemy has released into the world. But I'm telling somebody today, it is time to step out of this perverse generation and adjust your association. It is time to put a line in the sand and stop going back and forth. Back and forth. Last week we spoke about they continuing steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, what they were being taught by their leaders. But today we're going to talk about fellowship. Somebody shout fellowship. We want to adjust our association. You know, the Shakespeare said, show me your friends and I'll tell you who you are. Show me your friends and I will tell you who you are. If you think friends don't have power, if you think friends do not have influence, there are so many people today that are in failure mode because of their association. Because of the people they follow day to day. Today, I want to have the church adjust your association. The word for fellowship is the word that is known, or the Greek word koinonia. Anyone ever heard that word? No, you got a new word if you never heard it. Koinonia, right? And that word speaks of fellowship. It speaks of association. It speaks of the community you plant yourself in. It speaks of joint participation. What kind of participation? Joint participation. It speaks of contact. So when we look at this word, it basically means who, where you have planted yourself. In what circle you are planted. I want to tell you today, the early church, there were four things that they did. They remained in what they were taught, the doctrines of the church. They remained in fellowship. There was constant contact. When we look at this chapter, so many times you hear the word together. You hear the word, words, one accord. So they were consistently in association with each other. The lie the devil tells the church is that you can get saved but be separate. You want to see a person that dwindles is a person that isolates themselves. Because we are made for fellowship. We are a part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is a what? Unified body. There is not disunity in the Godhead. Why must there be disunity in the church? Why there is no isolation between God the Father, God the Son, the Holy Ghost? You know, sometimes we say, I don't know if I should pray to the Holy Ghost or if I should pray to the Father, if I should pray to Jesus. I want to tell you, there is no competition in the Godhead. The Father is not looking for worship. Jesus is not looking for worship. The Holy Ghost is not saying, oh, why are they talking to you, Holy Ghost? Why are they talking to you, Jesus? And why are they not talking to me? No, there is unity. So if you say God the Father, if you say Jesus, if you say Holy Ghost, you will get the same effect. Because God is one. So if there is unity at the top, the Bible says God commands the blessing. Hello, God commands the blessing. When there is unity in the home, that home is going to flourish. Whether for good or bad, because if two people decide to do bad, it's going to be a whole lot of bad. But if those two people decide we're going to do good together, there's a whole lot of good. If two parents get together and say we're going to sell drugs, they're going to sell a whole lot of drugs than if one is selling and one is saying, no, don't do that here. Because they're going to come what? Together. And where there is unity, a blessing is released. Either for good or for bad. Remember when they were building the Tower of Babel? They came together. The people had what? One mind. And God said, hey, I got to go down there. Because the principle of unity is in effect. The principle of unity is in effect. Remember the woman with the jar of oil? When the man of God said, go into your house, what do you got? She said, I got oil. She said, get your sons, borrow a lot of stuff, shut the door. When they shut the door, there was unity. All three of them came together, and what they were doing? Pouring oil. And the oil flowed until there was no more vessels. So wherever there is unity, there is prosperity. What happened in the last 21 days, this church decided we are going to unify in this fast. We decided that we're gonna fast together. We're gonna fast in one accord. We're gonna do it together. We're gonna pray for 10 minutes. We're gonna read the Bible for 10 minutes. At least we're gonna worship for 10 minutes. And what happened? Miracles, signs, and wonders break out in the church because we came together. We decided we're coming on online every night at 8 o'clock, no matter what's on my schedule. I am clearing my schedule, and at 8 o'clock, I am meeting online. And what happened? Victory upon victory upon victory. Wherever there is unity, there is a blessing. Amen? So tell someone again, it's time to adjust. In Acts chapter 3, verse 1, we know the story, famous story. Peter and John goes into the temple at the hour of prayer. When they got to the temple, who did they see there? Mr. Layman was there. And he was sitting at a beautiful gate, but he was in a terrible situation. So you can be sitting around beautiful things, but yet you're in a mess. You can be in a church that is flourishing, but yet you are in a mess. But what did he do? He did not remain in the state. He seeked change. When he saw Peter and John, what he did, he stretched out his hands looking to get some money from them. Sometimes you start coming to church for the wrong reasons, but you find Jesus. You probably say, oh, I'm going to come to church just to shut up this woman. She's annoying me every week. Come to church with me. Would you come to church with me? Come to church with me. Come to church with me. Some of you come here to shut up your parents. Because they're going to annoy you all week, the blood of Jesus. And they're going to rebuke you all week for not going to church. But what? In the process, you may find the Lord. In the process, you will find life and find joy. But this man, what happened was, when they were walking into the temple, he stretched out his hands. But what was the reply of Peter and John? Verse 4, and it says, and fixing his eye on him with John, this was both of them. You see here? The two of them were going to prayer together. They were in agreement. They were in fellowship going to the house of God. That's why when you're coming to church, seek to bring somebody with you. Seek to bring someone with you, because you are an ambassador of Christ. Amen? If your neighbor is sleeping, just touch them. Don't let nobody sleep today, because we're in this thing together. And everybody's looking around, who's sleeping? There's nobody sleeping. I'm just letting you know ahead of time. But just help them. Amen? Good. So they're going together. What they did? Peter said, silver and gold. Well, the man, verse 5, so he gave them his what? Attention. Expecting to receive something from them. Then Peter said, silver and gold I do not have, but what I do have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, what? Rise up and walk. Verse 7 says, and he took him. Is the scriptures up? Yes. Read with me. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bone received what? Strength. Verse 8. So he leaping up, what he did? Stood up and walked and entered the temple with who? He walked into the temple with them. The moment he got his miracles, he now identified with the church. The problem is, we come to church, we get our breakthrough, we get our miracles, but I don't want nothing to do with the church people. I'm afraid of the church people. Because what the devil tell you, all hypocrites at the church. All the church wants is your money. But you, nobody told you that when you got your breakthrough. Nobody told you that when you got your healing. Nobody told you that when you got your deliverance. But all of a sudden, you know that the devil is out to trick and derail you from what God has for you. The man was not afraid to now identify with Peter and John. Tell someone, change your association. Immediately, he jumped up. Forget he was praising God. Forget that. He didn't run into the temple by himself. No, he walked in with them as a testimony of where his victory came from. I want to tell you today, as just your association, identify with the church of Jesus Christ. This is the only thing the devil will not know. The devil cannot win, because Jesus said, I'm building my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Listen, the gates of hell is going to prevail down on Wall Street. It's going to prevail at the hospital. It's going to prevail everywhere else. But against the church, there is no chance, because in the church, there is somebody praying. In the church, there's somebody watching. In the church, there's somebody looking over your well-being. In the church, God has set up fathers and mothers to look over you. That enemy can't touch you, because you are in right association. Tell someone, association matters. We see that in the life of the prodigal son. Association matters. Huh. Let's turn our Bibles. Luke 15. Verse 11. Then he said, Jesus is saying the parable, a certain man had how many sons? Two sons. And the younger of them said to him, Father, give me the portion of my goods that falls to me. So he what? Divided to them his livelihood. And now many days, and not many days after, the younger son gathered all together. How much he gathered? Everything. Everything that was his portion, he picked it up and he said, I'm out. Right? And journeyed to what country? A far country. And there, what did he do? Wasted his possessions with prodigal living, or riotous living, or wasteful living. He went out and he was partying and he was living the way of the world, and he was doing it the world's way. So picture, you live in the Bronx, but you heard it's better in Manhattan. You tell your parents, give me all my money. I'm moving to the city. I'm going to where the bright lights are. I'm going to where the cool cats are. And I'm going to hang out. I'm going to make some new friends. And I'm going to live my life. You know when people say they're living their life, that means they're going to go do the wrong thing. I just need to live my life. I just want to do it my way. Like Frank Sinatra, I did it my way. He said, I want to do it my way. I am tired of being under your covering, daddy. I am tired. Mind you, this man had everything he needed. So he said he went, he lived in prodigal living. He probably had a lot of girls and a lot of buddies, and they were doing it up. And when he had spent all, look at this now. When he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Now look at the association here now. Then he went and joined himself. He went and had some koinonia. He went and had some fellowship. He came into contact and was now meddling with what? Himself to a citizen of that country. Be careful who you join yourself to. And he sent him into his fields to feed swines. And he would gladly, oh Jesus, watch this now. He would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. This man was heir to an inheritance. This man wasn't in line for riches. But because he was looking outside the kingdom, I want to tell you today, watch your eyes, watch your ears, watch your thoughts. Because thoughts are going to come. People are going to tell you it's better on the other side. But it's up to you. And even your eyes may feel a little ching and glitters on the other side. But here, this man, he followed his passions. He followed his flesh. He forgot to listen to the Spirit of God. And he went out of the covering of the Father. This is speaking about us walking out of the association of the church and what God has for us, and moving into the world to take what looks good. You know the saying, all that glitters are not gold? So he went out, he leaves his inheritance, he took his inheritance, and he went beyond the borders of the covering of his Father. And he got into such a state, after he wasted everything, he went and joined himself to a strange person. I want to tell you, the Bible tells us to be aware of strange people. People that just show up in your life out of nowhere. There's some people that just show up and they want to be your boyfriend. They show up, they want to be your girlfriend. These days, same and same want to be friends. So you even got to watch same and same. They're going to come. So we got to watch who we associated. And now this young man found himself. You see, it is very important for us to take counsel. Especially not just young, but even the old. Because some of you are older, but yet you're young in the faith. When you come into the body of Christ, one thing, you must be open to counsel. You must be open to instruction. That what the word of God is good for? Instruction in righteousness. The word of God is good for what? Correction. So if someone pulls you aside and say, based on what I'm seeing, you're going down the wrong path. We ought to be open. If this young man had listened to his father, he would not have walked out and got into such a state where he was now among the lowest. He went from a promised child to a pauper. A pauper is like the poorest in society. He became the least. So now it says here that he moved from eating fine food and then went in into the party life, which looked good for a little while. The Bible says the pleasures of sin are for a season. Because he now joined himself to a stranger like Samson. Samson was in Israel, and his father said to him, boy, isn't there a woman among the children of Israel that you can get married to, the daughters of Israel? He said, no, I want a woman on the other side. I want a Philistine woman. You know, yesterday I sat down with my children and I said, you listen to me properly. I said, every one of you, none of you are choosing for yourself. You don't bring no man in my house. I got 3 girls, right? And you, T.O., you don't bring no woman and say you fall in love with this chick. And you're getting ready to marry. Nothing goes like that. I said nothing should go like that. Don't tell your children you have freedom to choose this. They're going to choose wrong most of the time. Thank God for grace. Some of us are still married, but you wish you married somebody else. We said, you bring them, we'll look at them, scan them, talk to them. You know, let me share my story. I got married to Cher very early. But even before me and Cher got together, the Lord told my mom, Pastor Rena, which many of you know, that Cher would be my wife. So when I told them I want to like Cher, they were like, go ahead, go like Cher. And also I went to Cher's dad before we started. I said, Brother Dave, I like your daughter, and we're going to start dating. Don't go thiefing, because this thing is for life. This thing is for life. You want to do it the right way. Children, listen to me. When you get married, you have a long time to either enjoy or suffer. You have a long time to either enjoy or suffer. All the nice ways going to expand. Yeah. Young man, all the shape is going to go away unless you pay for it. I'm telling you, it's going to fade. Beauty fades. Yes. When I got married, I didn't weigh this much. Even the men fade. I didn't have no six pack, but I had a lower stomach. You understand? You got time. But this man, he went on the other side. Samson went on the other side. And what he did? He lost his freedom. He lost his eyesight. And he was used like an animal. I want to tell you today, watch your association. Adjust your association. Stick with the people that God has planted you with and prosper with them. So he became a pauper. And he became to such a low state that he found joy in eating pigs' food. The man became deranged. He became deranged. You know, you see the homeless man eating out of the garbage? That was what the prodigal was on. He was eating what pigs eat. And pigs eat anything. Pigs eat mud. You put mud there, pig, you lash it up. So he found himself eating pigs' food. And what is crazy is that the Bible said he did it gladly. The things you say you will never do, you find yourself doing them because you stepped out of covering. You step outside of the association of the saints. David said, how I love the fellowship of the saints. When we see each other, we should get excited, man. Be glad to see each other. Be happy to see each other. You know, if I don't do something during the week with the church, I feel odd. I feel odd. It's like, oh, where's my people, man? You know, because you rub off on each other. You get strength from each other. You're encouraged by each other. When you come to church, don't just come to receive. Come to give something to. When you see someone, give them a hug. Give them a smile. Give them an encouraging word. Speak a word of life to some. No matter what you're going through, speak what the Bible says. So, he left us an heir to an inheritance, and he became a pauper. But I want to show you on the other side, your association matters. If you would join yourself to the saints, look at the blessing. Now let's look at Elisha. Elisha was a farmer. And he became the chief of prophets. All because he joined himself to the right person. Let's go to 1 Kings 19, verse 19 to 21. This is Elijah. So he departed from there and found who? Elisha, the son of Shaphat. Who was what? Plowing. What was he doing? He was plowing with 12 yokes of oxen before him. How many yokes? 12 yoke. A yoke is two, right? So just picture you have two cows, right? And they're yoked together by a piece of wood, right? That holds them together. So he was with 12 yokes. So that's 24 ox he was with, right? So these are like really big cows, right? Before him. And he was with the 12th. Then Elisha passed by him and threw his mantle on him. And what he did? He left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Please, let me kiss my father and my mother. Then I will follow you." And he said to him, "Go back, for what have I done to you?" 21. So Elisha turned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slaughtered them. So he took how many? Two of the oxen, right? Slaughtered them, boiled their flesh, using the oxen's equipment, and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he arose and followed Elijah and became his what? What he became? Ain't nobody in here wants to be nobody's servant. Nobody in here wants to be a servant. But I got news for you. If you want to be great in this kingdom, you got to be the servant of all. You have to be that. Find that scripture, guys, and put it up. You have to be the servant of all. Jesus, the master, came not to be what? Served, but he came to serve. So here in this picture, just picture Elisha. Is on his dad's farm and he has 24 oxen in front of him and he's plowing the field. He was faithfully plowing his field. Tell somebody, push your plow. Promotion is coming. The thing is, what I believe Elijah observed is his faithfulness with what he had. So he set, he in his heart, he decided that this is the man that I want to become my servant. Elijah went over, throws his mantle on him. What he does? He leaves the oxen. And now he leaves the oxen and he runs to him. He said, "Give me 1 second, let me kiss my parents and I'm going to follow you." But watch what he did. He went back. He took the equipment, meaning the plow. Whatever the plow was made of. And he took two of the oxen. And what he did? He burned them. I want to tell somebody, when you make a decision to follow God, burn the bridges. Too often, we say we're going to follow God and we refuse to burn the bridges. We look back. And we say, it's still light on the other side. I'm going to serve Jesus on Sunday, but Monday to Saturday, I'm going back. The man went, he burnt the equipment as a sign of no return. He burnt it and he made a party. The kissing of his parents involved him having a ceremony. And he cooked those oxen, he boiled it, used the wood of his equipment, made the fire, everything was gone. And he said, "Drink this. This is my future. I will follow the servant of God. I will now have fellowship with the servant of God. I'm going to have contact with the things of God. I am not coming back to my old life." If God delivered you from the world, I want to tell you, burn the bridges. If God delivered you from prostitution, burn the bridges. If God pulled you out of witchcraft, burn the bridges. Maybe you used to thief, burn the bridges. Maybe you came from anxiety, burn the bridges. You came from depression, burn the bridges. You came from addiction, burn the bridges. Decide in your mind that I will adjust my association. I am not going back. The Bible says forgetting the things that are behind and press forward. What to do? Press forward. Your future is more important than your past. You ever notice in your car there's a big windscreen but a small rear view mirror? Because what is ahead of you is way more important than what is behind you. Maybe there are curses in your generation, but burn the bridges. Cut the ties. Break the ties and go forward with God. No looking back. And let's go. This is the great Elisha we know, but it started with him making a commitment to follow the man of God. Many of you come to church and the devil tell you, you don't have to follow your pastor. You could do, you read and get your own revelation. I want to tell you that is a lie from the pit of hell. If you're not going to follow this man, you're in the wrong church. If you're not going to follow your pastor, you're in the wrong church. Find a church where you can follow the man of God. Elisha followed Elijah lockstep and barrel. Wherever Elijah went, Elisha was there. Wherever Elijah went, Elisha was there. And this is the Elisha that was even greater than Elijah. He fed 1,000 people before Jesus. That was a picture of Christ coming. And Christ fed how many? 5,000 as a sign of grace. But Elisha did it in the Old Testament. Elisha brought the dead back to life. But he started with him making a commitment that he's going to adjust his association. He's not going back to the farm. He's not going back to his old community. He's not going back to his father's house. We didn't hear nothing about them again. He said, drink this soup. Bye-bye. Some of us, we feel like we can't live without our families. We feel like we can't live without the people. If the people that are close to you are telling you things that are contrary to this Bible, run! Amen. Man shall not live by bread alone, no matter if they're providing food for you. Run! If God could feed ravens, feed Elijah with the ravens, and God can cause flowers to grow, he surely is going to take care of you. Run! For years, we were separated from our family. Nobody really wanted to see us because we were Christians and everybody was Hindu. But it's okay. He said he takes the foolish things of the world to bring to naught the things that are wise. And those that are behind you will bring them to the front. He said, let the rich, let the poor say, I am rich. Let the weak say that I am strong. He said, more are the children of the desolate. When God is ready to show off with you, his child, there will be, jaws are gonna drop. Because he says, you are the head and not the tail. You are above and not beneath. Believe the word of God and you will prosper. So he burnt everything. He said, I'm not going back. And he followed Elijah. And we know Elisha today, all because he adjusted his association. He refused to fellowship with the old things. And he went on to the plan of God for his life. I tell you, if your neighbor is sleeping, just touch them and give them a God bless you. God, this is food for them too. 2 Kings 2, 9 to 15. Listen, if you love your neighbor, you're going to let them get the good stuff. Verse 9. And so it was, now this is Elijah going off, and Elisha receives a double portion, all because he kept on following the man of God. Verse 9, so it was when they had crossed over that Elijah said to Elisha, ask, what may I do for you before I am taken away from you? From who? From you. Elisha said, let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. What did he want? a double portion. Mantles do not leave the earth. The anointing that is upon my life when I die, it will not leave. It is my duty to transfer it to somebody else. That's why when somebody of good reputation and an anointed person comes my way, I want them to pray for me that I may receive more grace to fulfill what God has in store for. Now, not everybody's going to put their hands on me. Watch me now. Don't come tell me you want to pray for me. Mm-mm. I'm going to ask you to pray for me. He said, please let a double portion of your spirit be upon me. Verse 10. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. The man did not have an easy request. The man had a difficult request. Because the request will take him being joined to Elijah. He could not have been separated from Elijah. That's why it was difficult. Because it was any moment from now that God will take Elijah away. And Elijah did not know when he was going to get taken by God. So he said to Elisha, you are asking something that is not easy. You are asking a difficult thing. Because I cannot do it myself. Look what happens. Are you tracking with me? Yeah. So he said, you have asked a hard thing. Nevertheless, if you what? See when I'm taken from you, it shall be so for who? You. Now, mind you, Elisha came into the prophet circle after many other prophets. But he was the one that was chosen by God, and he was the one that followed the man of God. Because when the man of God said, I am leaving, he refused to leave him. The other prophets stayed on the other side of the Jordan. I want to tell you, there's some people that take the easy road, but the result you get is the easy reward. But then there's some people that goes all the way with God. And when God do miraculous things for them, it's because they invested their life into the work of God. If you ever want to be great, you got to serve relentless. You can't serve fair weather and when it is comfortable and when it is good. When to do something for the house of God, we find every reason not to do it because we're busy, or we don't have time, our job, blah, 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 my kids, this, that. But then there's some people in the kingdom that it doesn't matter what is on their schedule. They say, Pastor, let me adjust this. I'm going to get it done. That is how we got to become when we are in fellowship in the kingdom. No matter what it takes from me, I'm going to get it done. Let me tell you, I don't know how this one happened. I was on the airplane Friday night. I don't know how a call came through to my phone. I was in the air and my phone rang. Direct, not WhatsApp. A direct call. And somebody sitting in this room called me. But that person needed help in that moment. What do you think I did? I answered my phone. I didn't say, oh my God, I'm in the air, blah, blah. No, I answered the call. And then what? I couldn't do anything in that moment but pray. But then I instructed someone else in this house to take care of business for me. What do you think that person did? That person went straight. I'm not going to call Tom, Dick, and Harry. I know who to call. The faithful ones are the ones that you can depend on. So you call them because the iffy ones, you don't know if it's fair weather or it's not. Lives depend on how we fellowship. Life. I said lives depend on your commitment to the saints of God. Lives depend on it. Take your fellowship serious. Take your relationship with your brothers and sisters seriously. And that person helped me in that moment and took care of the person that was in need. Give the Lord a hand. I called Pastor Doll. That's who I called. And she dealt with it for me. There are people that lay their lives down for you. There are people that lay their agendas aside so that you can come into your breakthrough. It doesn't happen on cruise control. This sister called a sister that got her breakthrough on Monday. She made the call and worked with her in prayer. You understand? It takes work, church. So Elisha was following Elijah and he was determined to receive his double portion. And Elijah said to him, if you see me, let's go to 11. Then it happened as they continued on and talked. A lot of things happen in the process of time when you do not expect. But you have to stay connected in fellowship. You cannot break fellowship. Tell somebody, I'm not going to break fellowship. As they continued on and talked, that suddenly a chariot of fire appeared with horses of fire and separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha what? What he did? He saw it. Why? Because he remained in the presence of the prophet. He remained in the prophet, with the prophet. And Elisha saw it and he cried out, my father, the chariot of Israel and its horsemen. So he saw him no more. And he took hold of his own clothes and tore them into two pieces. And he also took up, what he did? He now took up the mantle of Elisha that had fallen from him and went back and stood by the bank of the Jordan. Look what happens now. Proof time. Then he took the mantle of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water and said, where is the Lord God of Elijah? And when he also had struck the water, what happened? It was divided. It was what? Divided this way and that. And Elijah crossed over. The double portion came upon him because he remained in koinonia. He remained in contact with the man of God. I want to tell you today, stay in contact with the people of God. Stay in contact with your brothers and sisters. Stay in contact with a praying person. Stay in contact with somebody that can encourage you. Don't hang around with your friends all over the place. Hang around with the unsaved. You get discouraged. You know, your association is so important, even in business. You want to become a better businessman? You got to hang out with people that know business. People that have went through the waters. If you want to become a doctor, you got to talk to medical people. You want to play basketball? You got to go associate with people that play basketball. But you'll never ever get consumed to the point where you are rejecting the fellowship of the saints. You are not rejecting the fellowship of the saint. Didn't God say to Adam, it is not good for a man to be alone? None of us can do life alone. Let me break it down for you. You know the saying? No man is an island. We all need each other. We all need each other. So how do we flourish in fellowship? Let's go. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 17. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with who? Unbelievers. Let's read it together. Are we ready? One, is it up?
No.
Okay. All right. That's where you got to buy your Bible. Get your Bible, guys. Get your Bible on your phone or your iPad or something. 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 17. Are you ready?
Yeah.
What it says? Let's read together. One, two, three. Do not be unequally what? You know what yoked mean? It's to be joined. Remember, he had 12 yokes of oxen. How many yokes of oxen?
12.
What was that? Each yoke was two. Yeah. So when you are yoked, that means you're becoming one with someone else.
Yeah.
So do not become one where you're having fellowship with unbelievers. Because fellowship is deep stuff. It's not talking about not talking to. To yoke means to become one. You know yoga, the word yoga means to be yoked. So what do you think you're getting yoked with? Yoked with spirits. So don't go doing yoga. If your doctor asks you to do yoga, tell him, no, it is against what I believe. Because we're going to see it in a moment here. It says, do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. You know, I tell my kids yesterday, I sat them down. I said, have you observed who our friends are? Have you observed who your parents' friends are? We don't have unbelievers as friends. I do business with unbelievers, but they're not my friends. They don't counsel me. They don't give me advice. I said, look at our friends. I have my parents, both sides. We got Pastor Abby. We got Sister Nikki. We got Sister Latoya. We got the people in the church. We don't have friends outside. Nobody comes to our house that are unbelievers. I don't need to follow you. Because you're going to take me what? Contrary to what God says. Your ideas are not going to line up with the word of God. So it says, don't yoke yourself with family, but it's high. It's okay. I don't need to put up no pictures with you to get any approval. I get approval when I hang out with my preacher friends. I feel good when I hang out with the people of God. It's okay. So you need to build friendships in the church. Before you leave church today, find a sister you never met before, take her number. Find a brother you never met before, take his number. And have petty conversations. At first it's going to be awkward. Can I help you? We call new people all the time and go, Jesus, nah, it's awkward. It takes nerve. Sister Jacqueline, what you do takes a special anointing. Many people are in this church today because of Sister Jacqueline. They make the awkward calls. And they call the people they didn't even see them, but they know they came to church. And they take the card and they call. It's going to be awkward at first. You know when you first hang out with your boyfriend? It was a little awkward. But then he touched you and he's like, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that flood my soul. Stop it. That's an old song. It's a chorus we sing in church. But do not be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Tell somebody, I'm adjusting my association. For what fellowship, look at this, what koinonia has righteousness with lawlessness? Burn the bridges. I said, burn the bridges. Don't look back. For what fellowship has unrighteousness with lawlessness or darkness? What communion has light with darkness? There is none. There is no fellowship between the righteous and the unrighteous. There is always going to be a fight. You know how many young men get married to unsaved women and they walk away from the faith and they can't find themselves back? They can't find them. And you know, and it takes a while. Can I break some news to you? If you have a son, watch him. Women have more influence on young men than the men have on the women. Yeah? The men get blinded by love. And then when they get married, their eyes open. Watch your boys. Women are much more mature at that age compared to men. You see that? Women carry themselves much better. Boys smell funky. They don't comb their hair. They don't brush their teeth. You got to tell them go shower. But the young lady goes and makes herself clean all the time. Why do you think people are attracted to women? I don't know why these girls are attracted to nasty boys. Yeah. Be careful. Watch them. Watch them. And what communion has light with darkness? And look here. What accord has Christ with Belial? And what part has a believer with an unbeliever? It is time for us to separate ourselves. Ain't nothing wrong with you choosing the side of God. If you're in it, you're in it. Deal with it. ain't telling nobody to leave your husbands. Please listen to me. I ain't telling nobody to go leave your wife. That's your husband before God, and that's your wife before God. Live with your mess until God help you clean it up. It's going to take a process. But if you're not, it's time to run. Or what part has a believer and an unbeliever? Verse 16. And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? Meaning, who is the temple of God? Watch me here. Know ye not that you are the temple of the Holy Spirit? You don't have no connection with the world. So when you go and do yoga as a temple of the Holy Ghost, you're opening up yourself to what the enemy is distributing. And all of a sudden, you now bring in demons. You bring in all kinds of spirit. And you're wondering, how come you're oppressed? You wonder, how come you're anxious? You wonder, how come your mind can't be settled? Because of what you have let in. Because yoga means to yoke yourself, to get connected. And yoga springs out of Hinduism. It's every time you do those positions, I might hurt myself. Because I ain't got them flexibilities. You're bending yourself over to the spirits. You're yoking yourself with those spirits. And you're saying, but I don't see no spirit. Because you can't see spirits. But you feel the effects. Amen. You feel what? The effects. Tell your neighbor, shh. For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them. All right, that's a little too long. I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Therefore, look what God promised you. The maker of the universe said, I want to dwell in you. I want to what? Dwell in you, meaning I want to remain. To dwell means to remain. I want to remain in them. I'm going to walk among them, meaning they're going to see my effects among them. When God is in your midst, something is going to happen. Amen? He said, you're going to be my very own. You're going to be my people. It's time for the church to look like God's people. Even your behaviors need to look like you're a child of God. Even your demeanor when you walk the streets, you have to look like a child of God. What did Jesus, the Bible said, wherever Jesus went, he went doing what? What he went doing? What are you up to? What are we up to as a church? We have to be doing good. Verse 17, it says, therefore, come out from among them and be what? That's the hard part. Because now you got to let go of what you have known, what you've become accustomed to. You know, sometimes childhood friends can become your greatest demise. I had a little childhood friend. Let me tell you about him. This kid, one time we had puppy. We had dogs in Guyana. My dog dropped probably like 6 beautiful puppies. His dog dropped, all his dogs died. Yeah, his dog dropped puppies, pups. They all died. This boy then comes to my house and say, all your dogs are going to die. I'm like, you're so dark. What kind of sick person is that? That's one. Two, I don't know what happened. Now, me and this kid grew up together in the community. Anybody grew up in communities with anybody? Yeah. Right. We go to their house. They eat our food. I try to eat their food. It never tastes good. I spit it out. But that's how we live. Went to kindergarten, primary school together. So I don't know what happened one day. I don't know how this kid got so mad and he picked up mud. I told him something. He picked up mud and threw it at our house. And you know, the house painted white, so that stain was there for a long time. Ain't nobody going up there to wipe it. It was there. And every time I see that stain, I'm like, one day I'm going to throw dirt on your house by. But it never happened. So, guess what happened? My dogs died. one by one, car knocked them. They get sick. They died. He threw mud in the house. Next, guess what next? My mom said to me one glorious day, do not leave this house. I am going out. Do not leave the house. Guess who came by? The devil himself. The devil came by and said, hey, my tire for my bicycle is at the shop, you know, to get patched, to go to the vulcanizing shop or the bike shop. So guess what I did? Followed him. I followed him. I got into the car accident, end up in the hospital for 2 months, break both parts of my foot here, have a steel plate in there right now. I have shoulder pain now because of an injury here. Broke my hand. The devil went free. Never came one day to see me in the hospital, and I was there for 2 months. I'm telling you, you have to know when to separate yourself. When you see signs, run. You're dating now and it's kind of iffy, run. Because later it might cost you half of your salary. Because even the man gets half. Don't think only the woman gets half. The man gets half. If you make more, he's pulling from your check. Run. If you have people that are always taking you to places you're getting in trouble, run. You getting arrested and they're going free, run. The devil will plant people in your way to bring you down. Then the Bible says we as Christians are supposed to be, we're not ignorant of the wiles or the trickery or the craftiness. That the Bible says our adversary is like a what? Roaring lion, walks about seeking how he may devour. The devil's been around a long time and he got lots of tricks. But if we live in the spirit and we have our eyes open, I don't want nobody ending up in no hospital because of nobody. Run. 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 Don't be afraid to come out. 17. Therefore, this is action time. Therefore, come out from among them and be what? Separate, says the Lord. And do not what? Touch what is unclean. Burn the bridges. Break the relationship. Delete the number. Block them on Instagram. Block them on Facebook. Block them on WhatsApp. Bye-bye! You're not living for their approval. I want to be approved by God! And you sing the song, so long, bye-bye. So long, bye-bye. Goodbye to my pain and my sorrows. So long, pop. Cut them off. Have koinonia with people that are like-minded. Like-minded people who will not cause you harm. God says, I will receive you. I will be a father to you. And you shall be what? My sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty. I want to tell you today, adjust your association. And watch what God will do. Because when he's your father, he said, no good thing would he withhold. No good thing would he withhold. But you know what he's going to withhold? The bad things. He's going to keep famine away from you. He's going to keep distress away from you. He's going to keep anxiety from you. He's going to keep restlessness away from you. He's going to keep the thief, the liar away. You're going to encounter them. But you say, Lord, give me the wisdom to know who is who. Associate with the saints of God. It says here, as a result of them being steadfast in fellowship, what happened? It says, they had favor with God and with all the people. Encourage you today, build relationships in the house of God. Cut off your past. Be like Elisha. Be brave. Light a fire. Light a fire. Light a fire. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you so much for watching this message. We pray that it encouraged your hearts. We also want to say a special thank you to our faithful givers and partners. It's because of your generosity that the vision moves forward. If you would like to partner with us, please visit faithchurch.life/give. On Sundays, we have our Sunday services at 10 a.m. live on Facebook, YouTube, and Instagram. So join us there. Don't forget to like, comment, share, and subscribe so you never miss another sermon again. I'm Emily. Let's break the code.